Oh, many are the Indians and Turks that speak the same tongue. Oh, many the pair of Turks that are as strangers. Therefore, the tongue of mutual understanding is different indeed. To be one in heart is better than to be one in tongue. Without speech and without sign or scroll, hundreds of thousands of interpreters arise from the heart.
You see, that right at the beginning, the birds are here. To pay the respect to Solomon, let's talk about birds. How do you talk about birds? That is the problem. We talked about it. The problem is the thinking. The main process is an abstract stuff. We don't know how and why and where it happens, really. But we know that we think by talking to ourselves. So thinking is really connected to talking. This is why the people who know a language good, they will think better, because they have a better use of the instrument. If the child will be taught a very simple language for the daily use, all these thoughts in philosophy and beliefs and all that will not happen. But the thing is over there. And how does it work really? How it works in a strange way, that I have an abstract stuff which will make me talk to myself. Then I will change that talking to another talking to you. Then you will receive it and will interpret it to another talking. With the first third interpretation, no wonder meaning is lost. Because you don't get what is in my mind. I cannot really say it. And if I even say it, you cannot really get it. There are differences here. And for centuries, we believe that if we find a common language, that misunderstanding will be solved forever because of the linguistic problem we disagree with each other. Is that the case? Really, do you think that there could be a language that I will learn to talk to Googles or talk to Mahatma Gandhi? You see, there is. It's not the language, it's more than that. First of all, there are these psychological effects, different researches of linguistics which could be done. I'm not going to bore you with that. I was bored enough with it. But the main thing is, there are some feelings in the people which they just transfer with no words, even with a very short silence, a lot of feeling could be transferred. And that's what we're talking about. When we talk about these birds, thoughts, these thoughts, oh yes, we could think of different this and that and that and that and that. But are you comfortable living in a big room with a lot of different birds, with different attitudes flying around? That's what you're doing now. Normally, there are different thoughts coming and going, and you're sitting there. There is another language. It's language of heart. Like other languages, you don't know it, therefore it looks bizarre to you. If I start to talk in a different language, how do you feel? Baffled. the sounds and confusion and things like that, right? This language is the same if you don't know it. And when you learn it, you can learn it. If you learn it, oh, that's a fantastic tune, because it transfers a lot of information, and more than information, it transmits feeling. And will put you in an other state of mind. You said, look at it. Not only the words, even the way you pronounce it, or your accent, or whatever you add to it by your gestures, all of this is minimal. There is something else, which we call it the language of heart. That language of heart is different. He talked about digaras. Digaras is different. It's another one. So don't think as this language another kind of normal languages. We are talking about the exception. There is an exceptional language of heart. Let's hear about that.
The birds, all and each, their secrets of skill and knowledge and practice were revealing one by one to Solomon, and were praising themselves by way of submitting a request. Not from pride and self-conceit, in order that he might give them access to him. When a captive wants a lord, he offers a preface of his talent. When he is ashamed at his buying him, he makes himself out to be sick and palsied and deaf and lame.
Now the scene is ready for the story, but before that, he mentioned something else and he emphasized on it somehow as if it was needed. A couple of verses to explain something. That all these thoughts, all these birds, they came forward and they actually talked about the things they could do. And he emphasized that not because of pride or show off and things like that. Because these thoughts are not supposed to be in the mind of Solomon. And inshallah is not in your mind as well. So your thought will present themselves as a thought. To be useful. To serve. It's like the slave. And he brought in the slave because the slave is a unique example. Because a slave is, in the market is open to debate, right? Everybody could come in and you will pay the price or not or what, right? What will the slave do? If he likes you and he wants you to be his master, to be sold to you, he starts to be nice and to show you the qualities. If he doesn't like you, he will pretend to be handicapped, not to be bought. An example for different attitude of being in the market, forced to or voluntarily. Here we are not talking about the forced thoughts. The volunteer one. Means you're not talking about those things that you bring in. Again, you say, the environment is doing this, this is what is wrong. No, your personal thought, the good ones that they present to you themselves as a good ones to be used. Yes?
The turn came for the hoopoe and his craft and the explanation of his skill and thoughtfulness. O king, said he, I will declare one talent, which is an inferior one. 'Tis better to speak briefly. Tell on, said Solomon, let me hear what talent that is. The hoopoe said, at the time when I am at the zenith, I gaze from the zenith with the eye of certainty, and I see the water at the bottom of the earth, so that I know where it is and what is its depth. What its color is, whence it gushes forth.